Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Coffee and Christ.
Good morning, afternoon,
evening,
wherever you are. It's dark where we're
at.
It's dark since 2 p.m.
Yep.
It's been dark since 2 p.m. here.
It's absolutely evening here. Ugh. It's so... You used to get out for church, like, on Sunday nights at, like, 6,
mm-hmm.
and it would be light.
Mm-hmm.
Now it gets dark before you get in church at 5:30.
Yeah, I know.
So, not 5, not 5:30. But, anywho, that's all right, because the world keeps changing.
I feel like a hermit, because the last 2 days I've left for work before dark, or before daylight, and got back after dark.
Mm.
And I just feel like there's no sunlight.
There's no sunlight.
There's no sunlight when she's gone.
What song is that?
I've heard it somewhere. That's a song. There's no sunshine when she's not in my life. Something like that.
I've never heard.
It's
I've never
a good song.
Really?
That's the only part that
you
I
don't
know.
Even know.
It's not that good of a song.
It's such a good song.
It's just dark and sad outside.
It is dark and sad.
And
I
I'm
have
just,
to agree.
And I'm wearing like a jacket that's too big for me right now.
Yeah.
And my glasses. So I'm giving off. I've been giving off cozy vibes all day.
Yeah.
And my brain also agrees with that because I have been tired all day.
Yeah.
Like. Where's the sunshine?
There's the sunshine. Well, that's okay. But, you know, we're back. We're finally back on a schedule, maybe.
We're here.
We are. We've had some, I don't even know what you would call it. Just some hiccups, I guess. We've been gone. Mexico.
What did I tell them about that?
So, I guess, trying to give you the short version. Me and Dylan, well, at least Dylan always kind of goes, but at least I was offered to go on the planning trip for our Baja Missions, just mission work that we do. And this is the planning trip is what's called, where you go down there and there's a big conference with other groups that go down there and support different congregations. And there's kind of the Baja Mission staff and it's real cool. You get to kind of spend time with a lot of people you wouldn't, and get to meet some new faces and stuff like that. And so it was really fun. We were down there for about a week, just planning, getting ready for March when we go back and for our work trip. I'd say a cool part, though, was we got to have our church dedication where we've us and a bunch of other congregations and I don't even know them all. Dylan, you might can shout them out here in a second, but where we support this community in Zapata, they were in need of a church building. So we were able to kind of make one work, kind of use some existing building that was already on this lot of land, and not to get into like the two details, but long story short, we got to open it up, like, officially, and like a ribbon cutting almost, that kind of deal. And so it was really cool, special. 118 people showed up, which is, if you've been to Mexico on a mission trip, that's a lot of people in a lot of at some areas. And Zapata is kind of a smaller community, so not terribly small, but it is compared to what do they have at their old church building?
It's the size of most people's kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, it might have been 400 square feet.
Right, right.
It was...
I couldn't even remember, just off the top of your head, how many people you think would come to a church service at that building?
So I'd say they're 60, like, there you can't get. And that's like, you are shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you can... You couldn't possibly fit somebody else in there.
Yeah. So just imagine that, like, 50, 60 people, and then... Turns out double that came to the dedication, so it was very special. It's really cool to see something like that, and to see kind of what God allows us to participate in down there, kind of seeing what He's doing, and allows us to have a small part in that. So it was pretty cool. But that was the really short version. A lot of things went on, a lot of good went along, and but yeah, that's, I guess, a conversation for a later time. But Dylan, what else have we been doing?
Week before that, where were we?
Man, I'm getting old.
Wednesday. I don't know.
There was one week where I worked late.
Yeah, we were working or something. I was here.
Mm-hmm.
The week before that, I was on the cruise.
Right.
The week after, we think we had to work late.
Yeah.
Last week, we were in Mexico.
Mm.
And now we're here.
Now we're here. Look at that.
Now we're back.
We're back. I know you missed us.
I know you did. What else has been going on in your life, Jackson?
For me, nothing. Like I said, just seasons are changing. And, you know, I'm in the woods more often, I would say, but that's about it. That's about it. Work's going good and life's going good. What about yourself?
Oh, life is grand.
Oh, is it?
It is.
Just grand.
It's grand. I'm full of a lot of joy.
Yeah? Yeah, why?
You have to understand why my tone of voice this evening is not because I'm not full of joy. Uh-huh. I'm just beat.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think it's just we were in New York over the weekend.
What did you do last week, specifically?
Just worked. Worked. Went to New York.
There was something in between there, though.
Oh! Right. I had a really good meal.
You did?
At El Tap.
Okay, but what happened before that?
Actually, that was Wednesday night.
Oh, so the next day.
I got engaged.
There it is.
The future Mrs. Dylan Wood is now on this earth.
Guys, this is great.
Yep, that's cause
for joy.
It is.
It's very joyous.
It is. Yes.
Yes.
Just stressful. There's a lot of things we have to plan, but it's good. I'm excited.
Well, you'll enjoy it. Joy. We're saying joy so much. Maybe you know what we're talking about today.
We're talking about sadness. Just kidding.
Just kidding.
Talking about joy. And do you want me to start? I'm supposed to sing the song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. I've got the peace that passes understanding.
Okay,
I'm
done. Okay.
So, the old VBS song.
There's
two more verses, but actually three. We'll spare you the details.
We'll do the real stuff.
We were talking about joy tonight, and I don't know. Do you want me to start? Do you want to start?
It don't matter to me.
Well, I'll kick us off because I don't typically do that. So it's funny, Jackson. Me and Jackson bring two different sides of how we study the Bible, and I was thinking about it the other day. And because it kind of, and this is not like a shot at you, it kind of makes me feel disheartened sometimes just talking to you about the Bible.
What?
because this is the truth. I grew up in a very conservative church, and I'm not saying that they're wrong. Embarrassing everyone. Not saying that they're wrong, but I just grew up in a conservative church.
Right.
And now. I would not call myself a conservative Christian at all, because my view of what that means to me changed drastically, I would say, in my young adult life. And so I'm still coming to grips with the fact that the Bible is actually one giant love story.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still in that phase of my study. Well, Jackson did not grow up in a church like me. And so Jackson is just on this big historical quest about Greek. And I went to Bible college and I was forced to be in Greek classes, but I don't do it because I like it. I hate history, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But like, Jackson just talks about all this stuff and knows so much. And I'm just like, okay, I'm not there yet. Like, but it's just, and it does make me kind of sad sometimes, but I was thinking about it the other day, and I'm like, you know, I'm on that part of my Christian journey to where I'm a very mature Christian, but I'm kind of reading the Bible in a different light right now than I think I ever have before.
Yeah.
And so I'm in that phase, and Jackson's in this big philosophical, historical,
no.
Greek, like, he could basically be a prophet.
No.
And I'm just sitting over here like, okay, well, I'm not Sacagawea. I just completely drew a blank.
I like Sacagawea. No, let's go with that one.
I'm so embarrassed. Zacchaeus.
Okay.
I'm up in the tree.
Oh, okay.
Like, trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And Jackson's just, like, looking up at me, like, over the top of his glasses, like, pitying me.
No.
But not really. But it's just, so I'm, that's the two different sides. So I don't, I very rarely start because, just truthfully, I don't have the confidence to start.
You're starting from here on out, buddy.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
So if you look at the biblical definition of joy versus what the dictionary. So I'll just tell you, if you look up, and I'm literally typing it. If you look up the definition of joy, just from the Oxford, I yawn even saying the word Oxford. The Oxford Dictionary it's a noun, and it's a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Well, that's all well and good, but I'm here to tell you that happiness and joy are two different things. And so if we look at it from the biblical side of things, there's kind of four ways that we can explain this. And these are not my words. I'm reading a study about it. But in the Bible, joy is a lasting emotion that comes from trusting in God and is a natural part of the Christian faith. Now, you're not going to be happy all the time as a Christian. And just because you've been immersed in water and you're on this spiritual journey does not mean that your life is just... God's not going to just give you happiness on a plate all the time. And so many people confuse that. So when someone say, well, joy is a natural part of the Christian faith, and someone says, why am I not happy? Well, okay, something could have went wrong at work. Somebody could have changed your address after a year of you living in a home. That happened to me yesterday.
Close to home.
There's different things. There's different things that happen to you that affect your happiness. You could have a great day Monday and a bad day Tuesday and a great day Wednesday and a bad day Thursday. I mean, that's life. And I'm here to tell you it's not going away. But joy is natural as a Christian because it should give us this overwhelming feeling inside to know that our story doesn't stop here. And in the grand scheme of things, and I'm still coming to terms with this, but in the grand scheme of things, nothing really matters except your relationship with Christ. The joy that we find in Christ, that really is all that we should be concerned with. And it's hard, like from my perspective, you know, now as I've, you know, shifted my view of my career in the last year, to me, I'm a numbers guy, or I run a business, and so I got to make sure, okay, is there enough money for payroll? Is there enough money for a truck payment? Is there enough money to pay for fuel this week? Is there enough money to buy this? Are we making any money? Can we, like this year, all the talk of my office has been the Christmas party. Are we going to have enough money for bonuses? How are we going to do this? What are we going to get? I mean, it's really easy to kind of get enveloped in our lives on earth. But then when you sit back and think about it, you really should be going, you know what? None of this really matters. I mean, yes, it's important, but the joy that is described in the Bible is a joy of, hey, this is not my home. You know, when bad things happen, if you really think about it, you're like, you know what? This really doesn't matter. The only thing that matters to me is that I serve a Father who pursues me and wants me and loves me, and that should bring us joy. You know, it's even mentioned, Paul writes that joy is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy. It's the second one.
Woo.
Joy is something that we should embody as Christians, all the way down to the basics of what's your purpose, what are you doing, right? And then really, and this is something I thought of today, joy should be a response to reality. And I mean, and we're going to go to the text in here in just a second, I promise. But joy should be in our lives a response to the realities that's going on. Let me dive into that a little bit. You know, the reality of this world, and we can put it even into perspective, and Jackson's probably going to roll his eyes, but the election, right? That's all that everyone's been talking about. And I will first of all tell you all, or tell you guys, that Christ was with us on November 11th. No, when's Election Day? Because today's the 12th.
Was it the 2nd?
Maybe the 2nd. I got my dates confused. But I think it's the 2nd. And Christ was on his throne November 1st. And Christ was on his throne November 3rd. Okay, Election Day's the 5th. You guys get the point. We're so enveloped and we're so obsessed with who's going to be the president, who's going to be the president. Oh, this is, if who I, you know, don't like, if they get elected, my world's going to be over. And that's just the reality of life. We get so involved in current events, and that's our reality. Our reality is money. Our reality is physical things that we love. Our reality is, okay, the water bill came this month, and I made money this week. Well, the reality of this is your money is yours. You worked for it. Yeah, but about 50% of it's going to bills. So you may get paid $1,000 a week, and then at the end of the day, you're going to look at Friday night after you've paid your bills and go, I have $300. You know, that's just reality.
Yeah.
And that's life, and then you die. But we get so involved in our reality that to us, that's everything. And a lot of people's response to reality is negative. Because if something doesn't happen the way that they want it to happen, then they're distraught and they're upset. And I'm not getting political. I'm just saying that that's just what currently has been going on in our life. Like I read today that Donald Trump was in the White House talking to Joe Biden, hoping for a peaceful transition. Who cares?
Peaceful Who cares? Transition.
Okay, we serve the God of peace, but I'm not, you know. Yeah. But joy should be our response. In a sense of, yeah, I've got bills to pay. And yes, I worked really hard for my money. But hey, you know what? God gave me a job that allows me to pay for these bills. And when things happen in our life, it's, you know what? Like yesterday, I was furious. That really did happen. I lived in my house since April. And all of my documents, my driver's license, everything is my address. I'm not gonna give my address out.
What is it again, Dylan?
But the Putnam County 911 called me yesterday and were like, oh, by the way, we're changing your address. So my street number went from 2014 to 2011. That's a big deal, all right? Like, there's a lot of paperwork that's going to have to be done. And I had a rough day yesterday, but I was just defeated.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? And then Andrea and I had my friends over, or our friends. They're our neighbors now. And we've been friends since college, and they came over for dinner last night, and we had laughed, just talking about things we used to do, and laughed until 10 o'clock, and everything was fine. You know, and so things happen, and usually our response is negative. But the joy that we feel should be, you know what, that does stink that my address just got changed, but there's people that don't have a house.
Yeah,
I do. You know, it just, joy in your life should switch your perspective on everything. It's the basis of what we build our foundation of Christ on, is we literally have somebody that pursues us, that wants us. I can't think of a worse feeling than going somewhere or being with somebody that doesn't want to be around you. That's a terrible feeling. Like, say you went out to eat with people and you're the third wheel, or you're the, oh, my friends are going out to eat, do you want to come with us? And then nobody talks to you the whole time. We've all been in that situation where we're just sitting there like, nobody knows me. You know, and so nobody talks to you. That's the worst feeling ever. But joy should tell us that we have a Savior who pursues us, who's constantly in pursuit, saying, I want you. I want to be in your life. I care about you. I listen to your prayers. All these things. In Psalms 30, in verse 5, and if you're in a safe place, I hope you have your Bible and turn there. If you're driving, don't. But in Psalms 30, in verse 5, ESV describes it as, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. What that's telling us, and this is a Psalm of David, he's telling us that, you know what, we're going to have moments that we're angry. be angry and sin not. It's going to happen. But his favor is for a lifetime. So yeah, we may be angry, but God's in our favor. God favors us. God loves us. And there's times that we may be sad. We may tarry for the night. It's a temporary thing. But joy comes with the morning. Everything is different the next day. That's joy. In Romans 5, we'll turn there really quickly, and then I'll be quiet and turn it over to Jackson. But Romans chapter 5, we'll read verses 1 through 5 here. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Though through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So, yes, that's a mouthful. But what he's saying here is through him, through Christ, we have also obtained access into this grace. And I like the way he says this grace. He's making it singular. He's not just saying grace. I can give Jackson grace. And we should as humans. He's talking about spiritual grace. The singular grace that is so big we can't even fully understand it. He's saying, through Christ, you have access to this. It's like us finding, you know, the fountain of life. That's what you can compare it to. Something that you can drink from, and you can never grow old, and you'll never die. That's what the grace that he's talking about, saying this is everlasting, and it's so big that you don't understand it. He's saying through Christ, we should have joy because we get to experience that, in which we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but to rejoice in our suffering. Have joy when you are suffering, even though that sounds super like an oxymoron, right? Which means it doesn't make sense. If anybody's never heard that, it sounds like an oxymoron, because you're like, well, how can I be happy in my suffering? Be happy because you have a Savior who loves you. Be happy because you have a Savior who's allowing you to suffer, and maybe through your suffering, you'll learn something. You know, it's okay to not have something for a while in order to build up to something big. The joy of our lives is we're building up to something bigger and better than we can ever understand. And that's being in the presence of Jesus, sitting at his feet forever. That's joy. It's not heaven, it's not streets of gold and gates of emerald and all these things. That it's being at Jesus' feet, looking up at the one who saved us, and being in his presence. That's joy. We have the hope of that joy. And that really should honestly, and these are my words, but that should flip the script on what your life's about, what you're doing with your life, how you're reacting to things. And hey, I'm preaching to somebody who needs it more than anybody, and that's me, is just understand that, hey, it's not all about life. Have your joy as a response to your reality and say, hey, you know what? None of this matters, because I serve a risen Savior. I serve somebody who cares about me, who loves me, and who gives me access to grace that I can't understand. So that's joy to me. We'll pass it to the smart one in the glasses.
No, Jackson. No, I think you described it perfectly. You honestly hit like a 30,000 foot view over Ecclesiastes of just like everything is hevel and all that stuff, because that's what that whole book's about, is we just place things, we place meaning on things that ultimately are going to end. I think you hit the nail on the head. And honestly, there's not a ton to add to that or to really change. You know, since I am the one with the language and all that, I will tell you some words just for your information. In Hebrew, there's three different words that kind of elicit the same response of joy. That's simchi, sason, gi. And then in Greek, it's kara and euphorsune and agesia. So just that's just for y'all's information. But no, I think it's real interesting the way you put it. That especially when it comes to just the Bible in general. Like when you ask someone maybe outside of a church community or someone who might not even read the Bible or have any hope of everlasting life or Jesus or anything like that, you know, anytime you ask them to describe what joy would be, it would all be good things, you know. And there's a lot of examples of that in the Bible. You know, there's joy in Psalm 65. There's joy in overflowing pastures, you know, of wealth, bountiful, stuff like that. And Psalms 104, it specifically talks about how a gift of God that brings joy is a good bottle of wine, and it brings joy to people's hearts. There's joy in weddings, Jeremiah, you know, there's joy in your kids and stuff like that. But the world, like you said, you know, it's not always joyful all the time. And, you know, you can see that. If you're a reader of the Bible, I mean, you can see that the biblical story just highlights how we kind of continue to keep messing up the world and making it a corrupt place by our selfishness and pride. And because of that, you know, people get cheated. People, you know, unfortunately are homeless or, you know, starving, or, and ultimately people die, you know, and that's where the biblical faith offers a unique perspective on that word joy, you know. And, you know, I don't know other way to describe it, but joy as a Christian is not just this emotional feeling that you get. You know, joy is almost like a faith commitment that despite circumstances or anything, you know, I'm not going to allow that to determine the meaning, the trajectory of my life. And that's why the story of Jesus is so crucial. You know, in Luke 2:10, it says, good news, you know, of great joy, this will be to all the people. You know, and this is when Jesus has just got baptized. You know, good news. And, you know, that's the message of Jesus, you know, because, you know, you hear it all the time, you know, if you're talking to somebody who hasn't read the Bible or anything like that, and they're asking you maybe questions like, how do you inherit eternal life or something like that, you describe it to them, they're going to be like, well, that sounds too good to be true. And you're like, exactly. That's why it's called the good news, because it is too good to be true. And, you know, Jesus' death and resurrection, he then commissions us to go out and announce the good news that he's our risen king. And you get great examples in Acts of plenty of people who are just joyful. You know, one that comes to my mind is in Acts 11:52. It's at the end of the chapter, and it just says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They're working together. You know, it's such a crucial thing, a part of the Christian faith, you know. And, you know, a great example, of course, you know, we've already mentioned him, the Apostle Paul. You know, he was sitting in dirty Roman jail cell in Philippians 1:25. And basically, long story short, it's kind of like at the end of the that chapter. Sorry, everyone. Let's get there first before I start saying it off the top of my head. So basically, you know, Paul's in a dark situation, but he's chosen joy, even if he gets executed. And what he does is he calls this joy the joy of faith, or the joy of the Lord, depending on your translation. But Paul believes that this is a gift of God, almost like a sign that Jesus is in your presence, good or bad. And when you believe that Jesus has overcome death itself, and he has such a, you know, firm grip on you, because he lived for me, he died for me, he rose for me, that not even death gets the last word in our story. And that's Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection. All of that determines everything for me. You know, that's my identity, it's my future, and therefore I can grab onto him in this joy that everyone else around me will think I'm just absolutely crazy for experience, but Jesus makes it where that joy becomes reasonable, even in the darkest of circumstances. That's, you know, it's a great passage in Romans 15:13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. You know, I also want to say a flip side, you know, this doesn't mean that you just ignore pain and sorrow. You know, that's not healthy to ignore those things, or necessary. You know, like I mentioned earlier, just read Ecclesiastes and you'll see real quick that sorrow can provide a lot of growth for us. And there's multiple areas in the Bible of people of being sorrowful. I mean, Paul's one of them. I think it's 2 Corinthians. I might be wrong. Actually, I just need to look for there it is. Okay. 2 Corinthians 6 in verse. Man, there's so many good ones. What to choose? We'll do 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Paul's even acknowledging that pain and sorrow is, you know, it's necessary. But there's a choice. The trust, the way Dylan said it, you know, the trust that Jesus provided a way through pain, through death, and through sorrow, and out the other side to have a chance at eternal life with him in the presence of God. And, you know, I don't know any other better way to kind of just put a bow on it. That's the Christian joy right there. That's the word. It's, you know, Jesus has such a firm grip on you that despite whatever you go through, the outcome in the end is joy, because everything is given to you, you know, for your goodness, for your best, you know, for the best. So that's all I got. I think you covered a great amount, Dylan. That was awesome.
Sorry.
No, that was fantastic. This is why you're going to start every time from now.
No, sir. I'm not.
No, that was perfect. So, no, well, yeah, guys, I hope you all enjoy. I know you are missing us. I know.
I know you guys have been sad.
We're back.
Get out of that corner. Quit crying in the corner. Get out of
it. Be joyful. Come on now.
Be happy.
Come on now.
Be joyful. We're back.
Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and update y'all. What's next?
What comes next?
Next?
Soon you'll see. Yeah. Sorry, Hamilton came out.
Next is faith, and in parentheses, fullness. So faith, faithfulness, however you want to run with it. So
we're actually going to talk about faith and then what it feels like to be full.
Full.
Fullness.
Fullness of the faith.
Oh, I was talking about fullness of like buffet.
Buffet.
Just kidding.
Have some
that
meal.
That was a dumb joke. All right.
Well, I hope y'all can, you know, how they can't see us, why we wouldn't have something going on next week, but
we'll be here.
I won't guarantee it because something may come up.
We'll be here.
We'll be here, though.
Talk to you next week, everyone.
Yep. Go be joyful out there. Be joyful, little lights of his. So we love you. Jesus loves you.
Bye.